Friday mornings at 9 a.m. Tune in to WBAI to listen to Dream Leapers with Harriet Cole. I know you want to be inspired. Me too. Join me.
And it is midnight. You're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI in New York City, 99.5 on the FM dial, and streaming at WBAI.org. Up next, The Jimmy Dore Show. And, of course, we need to remind you that the following program absolutely contains frank language. And if you feel you might be offended by such language, we urge you to tune away for slightly over an hour and rejoin us at 101 or so for All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp. Now, The Jimmy Dore Show. You've been warned.
Establishment media sucks. All this light and so good luck. Bullshit we can't afford. Why he's fomenting this? Head on, it's the Jimmy Dore Show.
So, the founder of Rolling Stone, this guy's the founder of Rolling Stone?
Jan Wenner, yeah.
He was the founder?
Yeah. That was the guy that Hunter S. Thompson would be.
I saw the documentary about the Rolling Stone, but I guess I forgot that it...
I think of him as like the guy with the Woodstock 99, that old hippie that was like, you know, blaming the people after their scumbag robbery. Like, the business hippies, you know?
So this guy went on with Joe Rogan, and he advocates for government censoring discourse. I'm not kidding. And Joe Rogan dismantles him, again, effortlessly, just like he did Sanjay Gupta. What? Here's a pothead comedian who announces men fighting in cages.
He's very patient and like gentle with them doing it.
Yes.
I almost like can't believe the stupidity. Yeah. I can't get the words out of my head.
So let's watch it. I'll play it all the way through. It's about a minute and 20 seconds. I'll play it all the way through, and then we'll come back.
To regulate the internet?
Absolutely.
You trust the people that got us into the Iraq war under false pretenses to regulate the internet? Do you think that makes any sense?
Well, wait a minute. The people who got us into the Iraq war...
It's the government.
Was the politicians.
It's the government.
In the end, yes, it's the government. But who else is going to regulate
it? But if they're going to be in power and they're regulating the internet, they're going to regulate the internet in a way that suits their best interests. The same way they do with the banking industry, the same way they do with the environment, the same way they do with energy, the same way they do with everything. What represents their interests? There's so you're talking about so much money involved in disseminating information in a very particular way.
The richest companies in the world right now are the internet companies. Rich beyond belief.
Yeah, it's fat, but it's a disruptive thing that has never existed before. I think it exists, and I think where we're at is where we're at. I think we need to move forward collectively as a country with an ethic that respects truth and that appreciates opinions and reality and an understanding of things that's not necessarily possible with corporate interests involved in dissemination of information.
But there's no way to do that except through the government. There's no way you can do that except through the government. Human nature is not going to change.
But the government's not going to change either.
But the government is capable of change. Okay, look, the government regulates, for example, the food supply.
Bad example.
Or can regulate. Let's take the
food supply.
Bad example.
The Department of Agriculture.
Why have they let glyphosate infestate all of our foods?
Let's one thing.
Yeah, but that's a problem.
I agree.
Regulating.
Well, then we better get better politicians and appoint better people. I mean, it's not, again, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Right.
Okay. So let's take the SEC or take the Food and Drug Administration regulates big pharma. On the one hand, we've got a very safe supply of drugs. In this
bad example. You
know, safe. They're. Drugs are tested.
Bad example.
You know, you don't get too many bad drugs.
Bad example.
You know, prescribed drugs.
25% of all drugs approved by the FDA get recalled.
And scene. How did Rogan land an interview with Nancy Pelosi? I mean, how is this the guy? Honestly, Kurt, there's no way this guy did as many drugs as Hunter S. Thompson. Yet he sounds like the bass player who got kicked out of Guns N' Roses.
He sounds like Dr. Drew should be helping him get his life back together on a reality show. Yeah.
By the way, I owe Rob Reiner an apology for his shitty Bill Maher appearance. He was a statesman compared to this fucking idiot.
At least Rob Reiner at this sense like, what? What's that? I don't know what that is. What? Like,
yes. I like how this guy thought he was going to do better than CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta. So if you're wondering, here's what becomes of the 60s era business hippies. They go full neoliberal maniac and then try to justify it on a podcast with a half thought out Rob Reinerisms. I can't wait for the Ben and Jerry flavor for this guy. It's going to be called the Jen Winter Know Nothing Surprise.
I was genuinely surprised how Know Nothing. When he said food, I was like, surely you travel in the circles of people who know, who were probably all complaining about GMOs next to you. And you know what I mean? Like,
so that's exactly what all the guys in, who was the rocker who came out against Joe Rogan? His big thing was he was anti-GMO.
Yeah, right. Like,
and now they're saying Joe Rogan's anti-science because he's questioning the vaccine. Well, you guys were anti-science because you were questioning the GMO. But one question's okay and one question isn't.
And then the pharma thing, like, okay, I know that the arguing about vaccines took up all the space, but you surely are a liberal who saw the OxyContin documentary. Like every liberal who would tell you you're wrong to talk about whatever, they all know about the Sackler family and OxyContin. And somehow,
how about them putting asbestos in baby powder?
Yeah, no,
they don't know about that.
Well, I didn't. That they're doing that in baby powder.
You didn't know that?
I knew about the cancer thing. Is that why it was asbestos?
Yes, they put asbestos in baby powder, which is why they. Yes, well,
some of us don't like flammable babies, Jimmy. I guess your baby would.
So let's watch this again.
Meant to regulate the internet?
Absolutely.
You trust the people that got us into the Iraq war under false pretense?
He says absolutely. Yeah, he goes, you want the government to regulate? He goes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like pals of his.
Like, what could possibly go wrong?
No, I know him. I know him. Yeah. I've known him for years.
Because he's on a first name base. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all one big celebrity important. I'm still the same whatever the hell I thought I was. And of course they're qualified. It's not the government. It's my, he doesn't want to say my friends. Watch when he gets to the,
Just to regulate the internet? Do you think that makes any sense?
Well, wait a minute. The people who got us into the Iraq war.
It's the government.
Was the politicians.
It's the government.
In the end, yes, it's the government. But who else is going to regulate?
But if they're going to be in power and they're regulating the internet, they're going to regulate the internet in a way that suits their best interests. No, the same way they do with the banking industry, the same way they do with the environment, the same way they do with energy. The same way they do with everything. No, what represents their interests? There's so much, you're talking about so much money involved in disseminating information in a very particular way.
The richest companies right now are the internet companies are rich beyond belief.
Yeah, it's a disruptive thing that has never existed before. I think it exists, and I think where we're at is where we're at. I think we need to move forward collectively as a country with an ethic that respects truth and that it appreciates opinions and reality and an understanding of things that's not necessarily possible with corporate interests involved in dissemination of information.
But there's no way to do that except through the government. There's no way that you can do that except through the government.
Why is that?
Human nature is not going to change.
But the government's not going to change either.
But the government is capable of change.
Okay, so human nature is not going to change, but government is capable of change. How? Through animatronics?
Yeah, well, do people not work in the government? What does he know?
Yeah. So the government's all being staffed by animatrons? Is that what's going on? Who's building these robots?
Okay, look, the government regulates, for example, the food supply, or can regulate, let's take the
food supply.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan. Wrong topic to bring up to Joe Rogan. There's nobody who knows more about what he's going in his body than Joe Rogan. Government approves foods known to lead to obesity. Government approves foods that lead to diabetes, heart disease, every other disease which government approves of. These food are made in industries where workers develop debilitating tendinitis. And also, how about the government approves large-scale animal agriculture, where diseases such as swine and bird flu, to name but two, are created. Government approves of the meat industry that is destroying the planet with emissions and pollution. Government approves of the most widespread, accepted, and unspeakable cruelty on Earth, that towards animals in laboratories and factory farms. But not to worry, the government believes in freedom of speech. That's why they want to regulate it.
So you're saying the government's wrong when they... As a child, they said you should drink like a full gallon of milk throughout the day.
Every day. Listen, now, so no, Joe. Now Joe makes the point that he should make.
Farm of agriculture.
Why have they let glyphosate infestate all of our foods?
Let's say, what's one thing?
Yeah. But
and they are. So during COVID, when I would cook pasta, I would do some. I would get my pasta from Italy. It's got shipped to an Italian food distributor here. And I you go, Jimmy, that's a big carbon footprint. I'm not eating glyphosate.
Is that what I thought when you said carb, they're like, you're eating a lot of carbs and not the carb. Somebody is going to give you the what for because of your carbon footprint from pasta you ordered?
Yeah, well, because it's a big, yeah, you got to, wow, Jimmy, you got to ship it from Italy. Yeah, but they don't spray their food with glyphosate.
You get all the pots that you want. Like, that's the footprint that matters?
I know.
Oh, my God.
So glyphosate, unbelievably harmful to all forms of life, threatening 93% of endangered species. Even the WHO has classified it as a probable carcinogen. Bayer, which owns Monsanto, has paid hundreds of millions in damages to people suffering from cancer linked to the glyphosate-based weed killer Roundup. It's estimated Bayer will probably pay out approximately $8 billion to settle similar suits. Nonetheless, Monsanto hiked behind the official line saying glyphosate has been subject to rigorous scientific scrutiny by the federal government and regulators worldwide for decades. It is widely regarded as one of the safest herbicides ever developed. Government regulation. Go ahead. So this is him. So you're for that. So the government allows that.
Did glyphosate do that to him?
Maybe that's, he's got glyphosate on his brain. Do you know, government regulation too often means government cover and interference on behalf of the corporations. A study from the Environmental Working Group found that 90% of conventional hummus contained glyphosate residues. And I've yet to hear a word about that from Adam Sandler. Here we go.
It's a problem. That's the government regulating.
Well, then we better get better politicians in them to appoint better people. I mean, it's not, I guess, again, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Right.
Okay. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, Kurt. This applies to bad jokes and fashion choices, not to Orwellian censorship.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why would. Okay, so that's why you don't do the regulation,
yeah,
because it's already good without you doing that.
Yes, we have free speech. And one of the things that people can't handle is that some people are going to say something that they disagree with or they think is false. And they don't think they should be allowed to do that because it will affect other people who are soft-brained. And then we're going to have a problem in this country. Well, that's your problem because you need to come up with a better argument to that person. You don't get the answer to bad speech is more speech. It's good speech. It's not censorship.
Oh, they decided that doesn't work.
So go ahead.
You ever see the argument like, no, that doesn't work, more speech, because you got to not platform. And then we designed the idea of everything's a platform and how dare you platform. And then that was supposed to benefit idiots like him to know not to go on Joe Rogan's show.
Yes.
Where his everything will be like like destroyed with his own mouth. Awful.
These people have no idea what they're talking about. This idea that free speech is a danger because of the internet. We've always had free speech. People have always had printing presses. People have always been able to say and do whatever. Free speech is good. It's not bad. You don't need to get rid of it. Can you think of one problem that censorship has ever fixed? Just one. Give me one. What's one problem that censorship has ever fixed?
Well, Andrew Tate probably can't use PayPal. I'm not sure, but.
Oh, and now misogyny is cured.
Yeah.
Right? It fixed it.
Yeah. Misogyny is cured.
It fixed it, right? There's no more misogyny. We got rid of Andrew Tate.
No, people instead of hating women, like them even more now.
Is that what they say about him, by the way? I don't even know who that guy is, Andrew Tate.
It's just some dumb thing for kids and all, like, I don't know. It's some
is
goofy...
that the guy who has the talk show with, like, four women and they're all...
No. I don't know who that is.
Who is that guy? Oh, okay, different.
It's just like a demographic of... It's just nonsense. It's all nonsense.
I don't know who these people are. I don't know who Andrew Tate is.
The thing is funny is all these, like, edgy kind of things are kind of, like, old-fashioned... You know, like, not a lot of sex before marriage and that kind of...
That's now edgy, like, scary. Like, yeah, Ben Shapiro is scary.
Yeah, like, it's really...
Ben Shapiro said we should stand up when a woman comes in the room. This guy's a radical. Where did you get radicalized?
Yeah, it's just as craziness, like, stuff that I got raised in church in is now, like, some kind of weird punk rock thing to somebody. I don't get it.
So, thank God for Joe Rogan. I'll say it again. I'll say it. I say it every day silently to myself. Thank God for Joe Rogan. When I saw him in Vegas, I told him, thank God for you, Joe Rogan. And I'm not blowing smoke up his ass. I mean it. Thank God the guy with the biggest podcast, the biggest talk show in the world gets it right when it comes to free speech, gets it right when it comes to questioning authority figures and gets it. Thank God.
Well, I would like to say thank God for Jan Wenner personally, because that's pretty great.
And thank God Joe Rogan has the ability to be able to dismantle guys like that and dismantle guys like Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah, because I don't. Because I
would have, but I would overreacted.
I mean, you saw poor Ben Glebe here.
Aha! Well, maybe if you see when you so you played the bad cop, I get to play the good cop when Ben was here. So thank you for allowing me to do that, because normally I'm the bad cop. You know that.
No, while I was getting mad, I was like, oh wait, it's weird. Jimmy's being the voice of reason right now.
We're going to see you in Richmond and Virginia Beach tomorrow. Virginia Beach, Richmond. Single tickets are now available, and I promise you I will never have to say this again after I work these two clubs. And then we're in Arlington on Thursday. I don't know if that's sold out. I think if I was told it was sold out, and then I don't know. Hey, Russia is now finally unleashing the big weapons. So Russia's not messing around anymore, just to let you know. Russia-Ukraine war live. U.S. and U.N. condemn brutality and escalation after deadly wave of missile strikes across Ukraine. So Ukraine should negotiate a peace deal, and that they almost had one last March. And then NATO, Joe Biden, and Boris Johnson stopped Zelensky from having a peace deal with Russia. So we all know how this is ending. We all know the Donbass is going to be annexed into Russia, or it will be independent. That's what's happening. Ukraine is going to have to give up the territory that they've been bombing for the last 8 years, killing Russian-speaking people in the eastern part of Ukraine. They're going to have to give that up. We all know that's going to happen. So now what the United States, Joe Biden, and NATO are doing is making the people in Ukraine sacrificial lambs. They're cannon fodder so we can launch a proxy war to try to damage Russia's economy. That's what this is all about. This is so the United States can sell more liquefied natural gas to Europe. That's what, and they could launder billions and hundreds of billions of dollars through Ukraine. That's what this is. That's what this is about. Your country, the United States, is run by international fucking terrorist criminals. Joe Biden is a terrorist criminal. He's got way more blood on his hands than any terrorist organization you can think of. And this is because of Joe Biden. You're going to say, no, Russia did that. No, Russia wanted a peace deal, and Joe Biden and NATO stopped it. And we all know there's got to be a peace deal. We all know how this is war is going to end. And Joe Biden and the United States media don't give a shit, because they want more of this. They think that somehow Ukraine's going to beat Russia. That's not happening.
It will if we do a preemptive nuclear strike.
Yeah, right? So here's a summary of what's been going on lately. This is 9 p.m. in Kiev. Here's where we stand. At least 11 people are reported to have been killed and scores more injured after Russia launched a massive wave of strikes targeting cities across Ukraine. Many of the locations hit by cruise missiles and kamikaze drones in the midst of the morning rush hour appeared to be solely civilian sites or key pieces of infrastructure, including the country's electric grid, apparently chosen to terrorize Ukrainians. Six people were killed and 51 more injured in Monday strikes in Kiev. So when he bombs their infrastructure, like their electric grid, that's Russia being terrorists. When we did it in Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan or Somalia, that's us being freedom fighters, just so you know. President Vladimir Putin said the wave of strikes on Ukraine was a response to an attack on the Kerch Bridge linking Russia and Crimea. The Russian leader warned of even more severe retaliation in the event of further Ukrainian attacks. Let there be no doubt, Putin said in a televised comments addressed to his Security Council. If attempts at terrorist attacks continue, the response from Russia will be severe. So they're not, they were approaching this war. I've seen other military advisors like Colonel McGregor saying that Russia had been using a light touch in Ukraine. They're not doing that anymore. Doesn't look like they're doing that anymore. It looks like Russia's like, okay, you don't want to negotiate. You don't want a peace deal. You want to bomb our bridge connecting Crimea to Russia. All right, gloves are off. No more light touch. We're going to take out your electrical grid.
I don't understand how the message that going out that one, Russia's like the deadliest enemy in the world, you know, mm-hmm. and then at the same time they act like and they're just about to be pushed over any second,
right?
And I'm like, how does that add up?
It doesn't, Kurt. You caught an inconsistency in their argument.
I mean, if I find out they're selling group tickets on top of this,
Jesus.
It's incongruent is what I'm saying.
The Belarus president, Alexander Lukashenko, said Belarus and Russia would deploy a joint military task force on the country's western borders in response to what he called an aggravation of tension. The two countries had started pulling forces together 2 days ago, apparently after the explosion of Russia's bridge to Crimea. Lukashenko was quoted as saying, Poland has released guidance advising its citizens in Belarus to leave the country. Shit's getting real. Ukraine's emergency service said nearly 100 people were wounded in the morning rush hour attacks that Russia launched from the air, sea, and land against at least 14 regions, spanning from Lviv to the west to Kharkiv in the east. Many of the attacks occurred far from the war's front lines. So Russia's using their long-range missiles, which Ukraine doesn't have. Though Russia said missiles targeted military and energy facilities, some struck civilian areas while people were heading to work and school. One hit a playground in downtown Kiev and another struck a university. The attacks plunged much of the country into a blackout. Much of Ukraine was blacked out because Russia is going to win this war. That's why. And you know who's going to pay the price? The people of Ukraine. It's real now. Now they don't even have power.
Well, the brave people of Ukraine will fight to the last man. Mm-hmm. That's what I... it's maniacs.
This is the kind of homicidal maniacs we have running NATO and the United States. The attacks plunged much of Ukraine into a blackout. Do you want to keep going like this or you want to have a negotiation? Depriving hundreds of thousands of people of electricity into Monday night and creating a shortage so severe... Ukrainian authorities asked people to conserve and announced that they will stop power exports to Europe starting on Tuesday. Okay. I can't believe the people of Ukraine are putting up with this. I can't believe the people of Ukraine are demanding that their own government negotiate a peace deal with fucking Russia and get rid of the goddamn Donbass. Let it go. You guys bombed the shit out of it anyway. What do you care what happens to the Donbass? That's the thing I don't get.
Weren't they sending people house to house? If you said some stuff like that, something would happen to you?
Yeah.
I forget what the group's called.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So if you
That's why. I mean, right. I'm sure people say all kinds of stuff, then they better keep their trap shut.
So Russia is not messing around anymore. It's getting really ugly for the Ukrainian people. And now winter's coming. And Russia can knock out their power anytime they want. Ukraine can't do it. Can't do that. So now the people of Ukraine are in misery. And now the people in Germany and Europe are going to be in misery because of energy shortages and energy skyrocketing prices.
But you can find a TikTok of someone just burning Russian natural gas in an oven all day because they have so much of it.
And this is all because the United States are imperialistic maniacs who want to sell more liquefied natural gas to Europe. And that's what this is about. Read Confessions of an Economic Hitman. If you ever want to know what the U.S. military is really used for, they are sent around the world at the behest of capitalists to steal natural resources and for economic reasons. That's why they're sent places. They're not sent places to help people. Now who's being naive, Kay? So here's Julian Assange to let you know what the Ukraine war is really about. He's not talking about the Ukraine war, but it's the same thing.
Because the goal is not to completely subjugate Afghanistan. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the United States, out of the tax bases of European countries, through Afghanistan, and back into the hands of a transnational security elite. That is the goal, i.e. the goal is to have an endless war, not a successful war.
So, same thing in Ukraine. The goal is not to have a successful war because we know there's not going to be one. The goal is to drag this war out as long as possible because then we can funnel hundreds of billions of more dollars corruptly and launder it through Ukraine. That's all this is. Hey, you know, here's another great way you can help support the show is you become a premium member. We give you a couple of hours of premium bonus content every week. And it's a great way to help support the show. You can do it by going to JimmyDoreComedy.com, clicking on Join Premium. It's the most affordable premium program in the business. And it's a great way to help put your thumb back in the eye of the bastards. Thanks for everybody who is already a premium member. And if you haven't, you're missing out. We give you lots of bonus content. Thanks for your support. Hey, if you're Virginia Beach or Richmond, and you want to buy a single ticket to our stand-up shows, you can do so now. Single tickets are now available in Virginia Beach and Richmond, and we'll see you on October 16th in San Jose, California. Okay, trigger warning for the neocons. This is the former joint chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen. He's a former joint chiefs chairman, and this is what he has to say about what Biden's doing with Russia right now over Ukraine. You ready? This is former joint chiefs. Again, this is not some Green Party person. This is not a socialist alternative. This is not a DSA member. This isn't a Jimmy Dore show guy. This is former Joint Chiefs. Listen to what he has to say.
Okay, let's turn to Ukraine. You heard President Biden's comments. You heard what John Kirby just said. How do you assess the nuclear threat from Russia right now?
Well, I have to take Putin seriously. He's got lots of options with tactical nuclear weapons, from very low yield nuclear weapons. He's a cornered animal, and I think he's more and more dangerous. Just what's happened in the last 24 hours, that bridge was struck, which was logistically critical as well as very symbolic. So I think we have to take him seriously and think through what the requirements would be for us to respond to that. It also speaks to the need, I think, to get to the table. I'm a little concerned about the language, which we're about at the top, if you
President
will.
President Biden's language.
President Biden's language, we're about at the top of the language scale, if you will. And I think we need to back off that a little bit and do everything we possibly can to try to get to the table to resolve this thing.
Now, imagine if he was saying that about Donald Trump. People will be saying, John, Trump's crazy. He's crazy. When he says he's at the top of the language scale, what he means is he's saber rattling in the most dangerous way possible. There's no other, you can't ramp up the rhetoric any more than Joe Biden's doing right now. That's what he means when he says we're at the top of the language scale. And imagine if he was saying that about Trump, everybody would be pulling their hair out. Their hair would be on fire and they'd be screaming bloody murder that this maniac is saber rattling with a nuclear power. He's got his finger on the nuclear button,
Jimmy,
Kurt.
Do you remember that when Trump called Kim Jong-un short?
Yes.
And they flipped out. They're like, they don't even have a nuke that could reach us, by the way.
Yeah.
That people were losing. People I knew, I remember like, I can't believe he would do this. And that's not. I mean, they're doing this with not North Korea. This is fucking Russia.
Yeah, it's just Russia.
They just told me it's the most dangerous people.
Yeah. Michael Glenn Mullen is a retired United States Navy admiral who served as the 17th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from October 1st, 2007 to September 30th, 2011. Here's more from Aaron Maté. He caught this and tweeted out.
So how do you see him saving face if he doesn't come to the table, if Ukraine can't figure anything out, and you've heard Zelensky as well? How does he possibly save face, especially after what you said about the bridge?
Well, it's very difficult to see it. We've been talking about since before this crisis started an off-ramp for him. I suspect it's in the east, if you will, with those four provinces or some combination of them with respect to how it all ends. And that really is up to, I think, Tony Blinken and other diplomats to figure out a way to get both Zelensky and Putin to the table. And as is typical in any war, it's got to end, and usually there are negotiations associated with that. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
And we talk about these tactical nuclear weapons. Where would he use those? What kind of damage can they do?
Well, depending on...
Now, they're talking about tactical nuclear weapons. Now, are they talking about depleted uranium tip? Is that what the kind of nuclear tactic is that? Because we've used those. The United States have used those. We're poisoning generations of people.
No, they don't poison anybody. The plutonium uranium. That's just a
depleted uranium. It's good
what?
For you.
Yeah.
So I like how they make it look like still Putin's the madman in this situation. She is doing that. That Putin's still the madman, even though he's not. We're the madmen. He's acting rationally, like everyone said he would act, and it's rational. Is it? I'm against war, so I would say no. I'm against him invading Ukraine. But at the same time, everyone from Noam Chomsky to Henry Kissinger agreed that we were the one provoking him to do that and that he was acting rationally to do so. And so they're still making Putin out to be. So let's listen to what
he's saying. We got to get them to the peace table.
Yes.
Or like, what should we? So we distract Boris Johnson with like a cheese and cracker party or something.
That's
so
what we
can't
do.
Fly in and.
Yeah. Well, we threaten Boris Johnson with a comb, and then he's not the prime minister anymore. It's that crazy late. Here we go.
The size of them. He's got some very small ones, which. Theoretically, while devastating, would localize the damage. The winds all blow back onto Russia, so he would have to, in a way, contaminate his own country. He could pick a symbolic target. He could pick Zelensky's hometown, for instance, as a target, as opposed to having a big impact on the battlefield that would badly hurt the Ukrainian army, which has fought so well.
All very frightening stuff, and always good to talk to you and hear your perspective. Thanks so much, Admiral.
Oh, my God. He's going to nuke Zelensky's improv troupe?
So they're just talking about nuclear war openly like it's almost like a done deal. And no one, again, in the United States media is running around with their hair on fire screaming about these maniacs in charge. If it was Trump, they would be. But Trump isn't. So, again, this is another situation where Chomsky was wrong.
Trump didn't even say when he insulted that guy, wow, we're really close to nuclear war. They just had a quote of Biden said we've closest to nuclear Armageddon since not. Why is he saying that?
I don't.
I guess
because we're not. Because we're not. Because we are. And. Because we're not run by grown-ups. There aren't any adults in the room. There's an adult diaper in the room that's called Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So I wonder who's really making these decisions, because it isn't Joe Biden.
We skipped right to adult care facility.
Yeah. So this is real. And again, if Trump was doing this, people would be concerned. But Trump isn't doing it. Joe Biden's doing it. So everybody thinks this is what we're supposed to be doing, because everyone is propagandized and they don't realize it. Russia is, so this is Seth Abramson. He says Russia is a terrorist state and Putin is a war criminal.
Oh, if only we belonged to that war crimes court, we could,
yeah,
we could prosecute him. If only we were too under bad, that law in any way.
Too bad the United States won't participate in any kind of international crime court. Any Republican advocating appeasement of the Kremlin and its sociopathic tyrant must be voted out of office. So these are people who are just maniacs for war. So this is how you get a nuclear war. You get a guy like Seth Abramson.
Coddling them with no nukes.
Yeah. Any U.S. politician not backing Ukraine and NATO right now is coddling our enemies. That's what they said during Iraq. That's what they said during the first Iraq. That's what they said during Vietnam. This is what they always say. Yeah, you have to be super pro-war or you're backing our enemies.
You know what makes me really angry? I'm not entirely sure what exactly coddling is.
Right. What is it?
It's not cuddling.
Here's the Independent. The Kiev Independent says U.S. President Joe Biden said during a Democratic fundraiser in New York that Putin's threats to use tactical nuclear weapons are not a joke. Reuters reported, "We have not faced the prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis."
Well, thank God we got Biden in there to.
Thank God. Thank God we got demented adult diaper Joe Biden in there, a guy who's was part of an administration that dropped more bombs than George Bush did. Do you know that? Do you know that Barack Obama dropped more bombs than George Bush? He took us from two wars to seven. Do you know that? You know, he didn't prosecute anybody who had participated in a torture program. But he did go after Julian Assange and Edward Snowden.
Well, they gave away state secrets.
And Chelsea
Manning.
As you know,
that's not authoritarian.
That's
authoritarian
right.
Is Putin being mean to his oligarchs.
That's right. President Biden says the U.S. condemns Russia's missile strike today across Ukraine, which injured and killed civilians and demonstrated once again the brutality of Putin's illegal war. Unlike our illegal war in Syria, we're occupying a third of Syria right now. Isn't that ironic that we're doing that? No one ever brings it up. And which third of Syria you think we're occupying? The part with the oil and the wheat? That'd be it.
Aren't they all not legal since World War II?
Of
That's
course.
Why they're not called wars.
These attacks only reinforce our commitment to stand with the people of Ukraine for as long as it takes. Our people in the United States, because nobody's telling them the truth about the Ukraine war, so they're just as dumb as... people are never going to rise up in America because they are controlled by the fucking corporate media. They don't think they are, but they are. They think that Chris Hayes and Anderson Cooper tells the truth. That's how bad it is in the United States. Under the circumstances, you'd think Biden would be demanding Zelensky get his ass to the negotiating table and cease sending weapons to Ukraine and its snake pit of Nazis in order to defuse tensions. No. So we're close to nuclear war. Joe Biden, instead of de-escalating, instead of making Ukraine negotiate and avert a nuclear war, Joe Biden's calling for it. Joe Biden is ratcheting up tensions for a nuclear war. That's the stuff they said Trump was supposed to do.
Either you stand with Ukraine or you sit with Russia.
That's right. Hey, it's worth noting, Kurt, that the only reason we are facing nuclear war is so Biden and the crooks in Congress can launder billions in Ukraine, which is exactly what Julian Assange. I wish I had that goddamn video when he talks about what the real purpose of war is. And the real purpose of a 20-year war in Afghanistan wasn't to bring freedom to the Afghanistan people or to stop terrorism. Because we fund those same terrorists we were fighting in Afghanistan. The real reason was a transfer of wealth.
Oh, so we did win.
Yeah. To the international security state. It's a grift. It's an upward transfer of money. And that's they're raiding the treasuries of the United States and Western democracies for this purpose. And it's happening. And you see what's happening right now in Ukraine. So here's Julian Assange to let you know what the Ukraine war is really about. He's not talking about the Ukraine war, but it's the same thing.
Because the goal is not to completely subjugate Afghanistan. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the United States, out of the tax bases of European countries, through Afghanistan, and back into the hands of a transnational security elite. That is the goal, i.e. the goal is to have an endless war, not a successful war.
So, same thing in Ukraine. The goal is not to have a successful war because we know there's not going to be one. The goal is to drag this war out as long as possible because then we can funnel hundreds of billions of more dollars corruptly and launder it through Ukraine. That's all this is. Hey, if you're in Virginia Beach or Richmond and you want to buy a single ticket to our stand-up shows, you can do so now. Single tickets are now available in Virginia Beach and Richmond, and we'll see you on October 16th in San Jose, California. Joe Biden, Republicans want a national ban on abortion, but if you give us two more, listen to what he says.
Republicans have signed on to a bill that would ban abortion nationwide. But if you give me two more Democratic senators in the United States Senate, I promise.
So when he touches his nose like that, that's what body language people say is a tell that he's lying. Because that's why Pinocchio, when you touch your nose, when you he's lying. So he is lying, and here we go.
Republicans have signed on to a bill that would ban abortion nationwide. But if you give me two more Democratic senators in the United States Senate, I promise you, we're going to codify Roe.
Okay, wait, so is the lie that he needs three more, not two more?
No, the lie is they're not going to do it. Because they've been saying this for a while. Here's Barack Obama saying that the first thing he would do is codify Roe. Watch this.
Well, the first thing I'd do as president is sign the Freedom of Choice Act. That's the first thing.
That's the first thing he would do, he said. And the first thing he would do, the first thing. And then he got elected, and what happened?
Now, the Freedom of Choice Act is not my highest legislative priority.
It's not the first thing I want to do.
Whoa.
It's
not. Not going to be the last, either.
It's not even in the middle. It's nowhere on my legislative agenda. We're not doing it.
Who is he talking to? The National Organization of Women or something?
Well, the first thing I'd
stand Planned Parenthood.
Oh, Planned Parenthood. So he was there talking up the ladies like talking a pickup artist.
That's
he
right.
picked them up.
That's exactly right.
As president, is signed the Freedom of Choice Act. That's the first thing.
The
Freedom of Choice Act is not my highest legislative priority.
But you told me you loved me.
There is one and only one way to preserve Roe versus Wade and protect a woman's right to choose, and that's to vote blue in 2022. We already voted blue in 2008.
Only one way to protect it. I thought it already got struck down.
We voted blue in 2008. We voted blue in 2012. We voted blue in 2020, and you still haven't codified Roe.
Well, keep it up. Keep up the voting.
Well, the first thing I'd do as president is sign the Freedom of Choice Act. That's the first thing. Now, the Freedom of Choice Act is not my highest legislative priority.
Because you're a bullshitter. Susan Sarandon says a lot of good that did in 2020, voting blue, she means. Dems are going to use this to fundraise and get you to vote for them again, despite sitting on their hands for the last 2 years. Instead of actually standing for anything, their only strategy is scaring you into voting blue. That's exactly what this is.
He's saying
it's funny how Susan Sarandon, she can get it. She gets certain things perfectly. She gets certain things really, she get like this. She got, yeah. Not everybody's perfect.
What, like Eric swallows well?
Here he is again. He retweets her and says, can everyone all at once tell Susan Sarandon to sit this one out?
Oh.
She's caused enough trouble. She's so powerful. If Susan Sarandon actually had the power to cause trouble, you'd be nicer to her.
Hey, us real progressives will swallow it from here.
That's right. Us real progressives. She's not a real progressive. You know who is? The guy who takes corporate money. He's the real progressive.
Oh, I didn't even realize the rep in front of his name.
Yeah. So then she comes back. Please explain how exactly voting blue preserved and protected Roe versus Wade in 2012 when Obama had control of Congress, promised to codify Roe, and then didn't. Since you're asking voters to vote blue in 2022, show them the receipts. What's your plan?
Ooh, we must feel like a real Yan winner on the Joe Rogan show right now.
We warned you for years, but some of you with lofty lefty platforms told people not to vote for Democrats. That was me. To send a message in 2010. You didn't heed our warnings in 2016. Now you're shocked that the Republican Supreme Court will overturn Roe, but you should be ashamed. No,
who's
you should be ashamed. I'm not shocked. Your last name's Pelosi. You should have codified Roe versus Wade into law a long time ago. It's that nice try, but it's not working. You fucking liar. You fucking bald-faced, bullshitting, children of privilege, worthless piece of shit liar that you are, Christine Pelosi.
And why is shocked in quotes?
So then she tweets out this. Nancy Pelosi says Democrats focus on abortion access is hurting the party. Remember when she said that? I remember when she said that. Susan Sarandon bringing the heat. Waleed Shahid said, as Democratic Party leadership condemns the Supreme Court ruling, a reminder that Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and Jim Clyburn are all endorsing anti-choice Henry Cuellar in his primary against Cisneros in Texas. Clyburn is doing a campaign rally in San Antonio with Cuellar tomorrow. So you voting blue means you're a chump. Means that you're willing to get played again on abortion.
Vote blue no matter how red they are.
Does it anger you as much as me that Jill Stein, Susan Sarandon, Ralph Nader, and a loose alliance of socialists, communists, and anarchists won't codify women's reproductive rights in the law of the land, despite them having complete control of the House, Senate, and the White House? Nice going, John Blackman. Caitlin Johnstone says, what's the correct response when a mainstream political party keeps communicating that they'll never do anything to help you, but you need to support them anyway, or they'll let their friends in the other mainstream political party take away your rights? What is the correct response? The correct response is to go, I'm voting third party. Despite liberals beg Susan Sarandon for abortion rights. Desperate liberals beg Susan Sarandon for abortion rights. Here's another good one. If you give me two more Democrat senators, I promise we'll count. And I get it. I get why people think voting Democrat is good, because that's what the machine wants you to think. It needs to give you an option. And that's what they think. But again, you're voting for the same people. Okay. Anything you want to say about this, Kurt?
No, I remember it from when Andy Kindler disavowed me like I was some common Susan Sarandon. You're despicable. All I did was point out the thing that Anna Kasparian yelled about.
Imagine being that big of a chump on purpose. You imagine, it could just get unbelievable.
It was beyond my imagination until I saw it.
God. So you remember when George Bush told this lady... There we go.
And the truth of the matter is, elderly baby boomers have got a lot to offer to our society, and we shouldn't think about giving up our responsibilities in society. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah. But nevertheless, there's a certain comfort to know that the promises made will be kept by the government.
Yes.
And so thank you for asking that. You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry. Your Social Security is going to be there. That's what he's saying. And now listen to what she says.
Three jobs, and I feel like I contribute.
You work three jobs.
Three jobs, yeah.
Uniquely American, isn't it? That is fantastic that you're doing that.
That's not fantastic. That's horrible that a woman needs to work, who's almost a senior citizen, needs to work three jobs in the richest country on the face of the earth has ever seen. That's not good. And why do I bring that up? The unlikely cure for burnout? Get a second job.
Yeah, no, time-saving inventions over at Wired here.
Overemployment sounds like more of the same old grind, but its underlying philosophy is critical of work.
So it's counterintuitive being burned out from my job. The cure would be more job. More cowbell, as they say. I gotta have cowbell. All right.
This is in Wired magazine. Oh, I'm so sad we don't have the name of the person who wrote this.
Is it called Wired because I have to do meth to work my three jobs?
At the beginning of the pandemic, Sarah Murphy accepted a new role as a creative lead at a tech company. But when it came time to resign from her position in a different industry, she didn't.
Why?
Why? Well, I felt trapped in the rat race, trapped in a certain career path, and just wasn't really seeing a lot of opportunities for financial independence, she said. I knew that there was a certain amount that I could expect to make in my career, and then there were goals that I had that wouldn't be attainable for another 5 to 10 years down the line. She also decided to hold both positions at once.
This sounds like the beginning of a movie where a kid's dad works too much and then dies and turns into a snowman. That's what this sounds like.
Murphy is one of the overemployed employees secretly working more than one full-time job, aided by the rise of remote work ushered in by the what?
I'm overemployed. How's the pay? I want to know what the over under on the pay, Murphy. I know it gives you a headache, don't it? So first of all, there's no such thing as the overemployed. They're trying to talk away why people got to have three jobs. Remember the Reddit, we don't want to work for them, that they successfully So this is the antidote to that. That's what this is. And oh, cool term, overemployed. You should call it breakthrough employment.
Breakthrough employment. So, Kurt, this is a phenomena.
Yeah.
And it's
everyone's
it's,
talking about it around my three-job water cooler.
It has become... Well, at least I'm being hydrated because I have three water coolers now. I got to clean up the job.
There's lead in my sink water, so it helps to get clean water at work. Yeah.
The phenomenon has become known through outlandish anecdotes. The software engineer working 10 remote jobs and is set to earn $1.5 million in a year. The remote workers who play Tetris with their calendars to manage conflicts across multiple jobs. The startup leaders with distributed teams who discover that their software engineers have second jobs.
Startup leaders? All right, well, whatever. They're all the
Who in the F is working 16 hours? That's full time is 8 hours a day. That would be 16 hours every day. You can't do that as a human being. You're going to break down.
Well, my ex-girlfriend did that, but she was Mexican.
On TikTok, the tag hashtag overemployed has over 4.3 million views. The subreddit Are Overemployed has over 89,000 members, and the accompanying Discord community has 32,000 users. During active periods during any day, a new member joins every few minutes.
Now, you see Reddit, what was it, Screw Work or whatever? And now, I was just throwing that out. Subreddit are overemployed. And Reddit, by the way, you think Twitter's bad and compromised? Nobody talks. Reddit got compromised.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
A long time ago. Yes. That's pure. Okay.
Though the overemployed, at first glance, seem to be resisting the backlash against hustle culture by embracing even more work, they echo many talking points about work that have long since entered the mainstream, from disenchantment with corporations to the rejection of jobs monopolizing workers' time and identity. This is bullshit. This is a bullshit article. Yeah.
Jimmy, I want to let you know that this was written by Fadiq Adugbuyi, and he's a writer for Cybernaut, so this is his second job, too.
Ah! So working more jobs for longer hours, that's how you really
stick it to
the man.
Thanks, Wired. Boy, I feel like I'm a hacker or something cool now. Life hack. You tired of your job? Try working three of them.
Get another one, but don't quit the first one.
And don't tell them you have another job. Tell them you're sick. You know, really work another job.
That's how you stick it to
them. Very American.
So let me get this straight. People were saying you're not allowed to have it. We're not going to pay you enough to live, but also don't work another job. So you secretly, I'll show them. Oh my God.
In an economy that's gone awry, it's no wonder doubling or tripling your income through overemployment feels like the new cheat code.
I thought that was selling drugs. Oh. Yeah, I'm going to get
You're not cheating if you're working full-time triple.
You know how much America has fallen if, like, to make extra money at your real job, instead of selling marijuana, you go get
another
three
job?
Other crappy jobs? You see how bad it is?
How many teachers who work side jobs in retail or minimum wage workers who have fast food jobs and also drive for Uber would consider getting a second job a cheat code? Do you think that? Do you think when a teacher has to go work a second job driving an Uber, do you think they think that they're cheating the system or that they're being exploited yet again because their primary job doesn't pay them enough fucking money?
I thought financial freedom means I don't work three goddamn
That's
jobs.
That's right. Overemployment embraces the lure.
Oh, my God.
This is a PR thing, man.
This guy is mental who wrote this.
Ambition is our strength.
Overemployment embraces the lure of earning additional steady income from the comfort of your own home while circumventing the precarious side hustles and gig work that fail to meet the needs of men. You don't need to go drive an Uber. You just stay home and get another full-time job. Just from the comfort of your own home, Kurt.
Oh, you know what? Just become a stripper. That's a cheat code to financial freedom.
That's
I don't know if you know that.
There's your cheat code.
OnlyFans, cheat code to financial freedom.
And even this article is admitting that the cheat code, this genius cheat code, not even available to most people unless you're working in the information economy.
Yeah, right.
That's what
Well, one, I resent that overemployment has not been put in quotes in every portion. Like, it's right there. Like, it's just an established thing we all use now. Also, the cheat code, I think, is for the corporations. I think that's their cheat code and not your cheat code, the employee.
Like Murphy, many overemployed individuals are achieving financial milestones that once seemed out of reach. From buying a home to building a sizable savings that you won't have any time to spend. In one Discord conversation, a member relishes the feeling of getting two paychecks on the same day, while others react with emojis in delighted unison. This is fucking sick, man.
This is a...
You're just telling people to work three jobs.
You know what, but I'm waiting until he comes back with another article about how you can sell your blood and organs.
Hey, life hack. You know, they buy blood. And you can get a second job giving hand jobs.
But I've decided to do the cheat code. I suck cock for money.
Well, that first sentence, look at that after what you just said.
But many of the wins aren't material. Counterintuitively.
Will I get Christmas spirit? True Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas from it? Will I be able to help Tiny Tim after all?
But many of the wins aren't material, Kurt. Counterintuitively, proponents say the idea of working more and the obligation to, in theory, work 80 or more hours per week, it's not just financially freeing, but emotionally and professionally liberating as well.
Arbeit macht frei, what I said to Chris Hedges when you said that. That's what that is. That's above Auschwitz. But they're just longer. Work will set you free. That was on the gate to Auschwitz.
That is just crazy.
They're literally, I mean, is that not the same message?
If you just work another 40 hours a week, you'll be emotionally and professionally liberated.
That's what they're saying to the people they march into a camp. Work will set you free. I know it sucks. That's what that means. Arbeit macht frei. So Wired, just unbelievable. I was right. I made a joke about it to Chris Hedges. That's what they're saying.
The overemployed are rarely seeking self-actualization and meaning-making at work. Many eschew career ambitions, adding additional jobs that are relatively junior and allow them to complete their work without the obligations that come with more senior roles. Holy shit.
This is written towards, you know, you're saying those kind of jobs like that. Same as the Forbes, you must never do your own research. That's not to like the poor people, they're pretending. That's to the middle class, I got three jobs and I'm not in the middle class person who reads this.
This is crazy. This article's nuts. With multiple jobs, the posters say they never quite get attached to any of them. Really? It's a rejection of work as identity and embraces. No, it seems like you, that's all you're doing.
It seems like it's freeing you from the very concept of a self-identity.
Yes. Now you're just a worker bee 24/7.
Do they at least get free like stripy suits to do their thing? Okay.
Overemployment provides a sense of newfound confidence. And plus, I can't write this good.
What is the confidence?
Can
from
you
not-
write this funny, Kurt?
No, the confidence that comes from working three separate jobs but not enough hours to get health care. That kind of confidence?
That kind of freedom.
The freedom of, you know, when you work at one job because your health care is tied to it.
Yeah.
You ain't getting that.
No.
But now you've got the freedom. Oh, a feeling of taking back power.
Amid uncertain times. You get a newfound confidence and positivity amid uncertain times. You are taking back your power by working instead of relaxing.
This guy have other articles. I want to read all of them.
So if you just work 16 hours a day and then sleep, because you have to sleep, so you sleep 8, you have absolutely no time to do anything else.
Do you have to sleep?
Right. Yeah,
that's
you
know what? That's a fair point that Steph just made.
Mm-hmm. Overemployment is far from the only reimagining of work we've seen proliferate across the internet. Late 2022 brought quiet quitting, where people dissatisfied with their roles opted to stay instead of quit. Scaling back to do the minimum to the forefront of the news cycle. So, okay.
I love they thought they invented being at a crappy job and not doing it good.
Yeah.
Hey, I just came up with a new idea.
In a thread on the overemployed subreddit, one poster who pondered the divide between anti-work proponents and the overemployed received a response saying, anti-work and overemployment have an overlap, Anti-Work talks about how the system is against the workers and we should tear that system down. Overemployment thinks the system is against the workers and says, let's exploit it. Let's exploit it by working twice as hard.
Dude, this is I can't believe I called it. I called it 100%. This is about Anti-Work. That's why they said they read it. They're counteracting that with a thing that's insane, right?
This is insane.
Hey, why don't we exploit it by working? Hey, you guys, why don't we exploit it by working extra hard at multiple jobs?
Stick it to them.
This is propaganda because of Anti-Work. That was the name of the Reddit I couldn't remember. That's what this is.
I don't even want to read any more of this, but Isaac.
Why? Because it's too much work?
This is too much work. I'm actually already overworked.
Oh, I have to read 3 more articles at other shows right now. I'm late. Better pee in a jug, I guess.
Isaac P., the pseudonymous?